from HanselMinutes.com, it's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman, hosted by Carl Franklin. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 19, recorded Monday, May 29th, 2006. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Codesmith Tools, makers of Codesmith, an extensible template-based code generator for .NET. Generate your code your way, faster, online at codesmithtools.com. And by peterbloom.com. Start with better controls, finish with better sites. Online at peterblum.com. Support is also provided by .NET Developers Journal, the world's leading .NET developer magazine. Online at www.sys-con.com. In this episode, the focus is BitTorrent.
Hi, this is Carl Franklin. You're listening to Hansel Minutes. Here we are again for another great show. Scott, hi, how are you?
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, too. It was a good weekend.
It was.
So we're talking about BitTorrent today.
BitTorrent, video, squishing, things you can do with BitTorrent, optimizing BitTorrent, how it works, and various legalities.
And now would be a good time for a disclaimer, would it not?
It would indeed.
Yeah.
We are not lawyers, we are not legal nor illegal people, we are just guys talking to you on your iPods, hopefully in double speed if you're not wasting your time, and we have no way to know whether this is legal or not legal. Carl, what have you found in your research?
Well, I found that certain things are legal to share and certain things are not, and the list of legal things is small indeed. However, there are some major television studios that are now coming out with, and media companies that are now coming out with BitTorrent feeds. But, you know, they have their own terms and conditions. There isn't just blanket stuff. I've heard people say that, you know, fair use means if I can watch something on my TV, then I don't feel bad going to download it if I missed it. And while that may be true, it still may be illegal. So you really need to check your laws for the particular media that you're trying to download.
Absolutely. And it's fair to say that using BitTorrent and the BitTorrent protocol is certainly a legal thing.
Yes.
It really gets into the gray area when you download something odd.
It's all a matter of what you're downloading.
Yeah, but don't think poorly of the protocol. But like you said, like Warner Brothers is going to allow downloads of their shows. There's information about that at shrinkster/FHZ.
Yeah.
On Warner Brothers' agreement with BitTorrent. Okay, so what is BitTorrent?
What is it?
BitTorrent is, I call it kind of the equivalent of a protocol, if a protocol could shout, right? BitTorrent is a bunch of people getting into a room and going, hey, I've got this version of this file, and then just screaming and yelling at each other.
You ever seen the stock market guys on Wall Street and they're just screaming and yelling at each other?
It's the stock market protocol.
Yeah.
It's basically, there's a 100 gig file, some giant file I want to get, and, you know, downloading it classically from Carl Franklin Studios means that I tie up one of your connections. And if you want to distribute that to a million people, let's say it's a really popular file, the more people that want to get that file, the fewer can. So you get squeezed. So BitTorrent tries to solve that problem of the more people who want it, the fewer do, to the more people who want it, the more people who can. BitTorrent works better with popular files.
It also works really, really well with podcast clients, because a podcast client, you know, will typically wake up when there's new stuff, right? And when there's new stuff, you have thousands, possibly tens of thousands of clients trying to download the same file at the same time. And if those files are big, why, BitTorrent is just perfect for that. Because the rule of BitTorrent is the more people are downloading simultaneously, the faster everybody gets the file. That's a simple rule you can remember.
Exactly. The protocol says, hey, I've got, you know, parts 2, 6, and 8 of this file, and you've got parts 3, 4, and 2, or 3, you know, 3, 4, and 5.
Right.
Let's exchange them. So you may, for a very long period of time, have just chunks of a file, and another guy may have chunks, and no one in the swarm has the entire file yet, but perhaps amongst the group of us, the union of us, we have the whole file.
Right.
If we stay online long enough, we'll all get the complete file.
Right. And
now, after you've got the complete file, you got to stay online, though, because there's an unspoken moral code within BitTorrent. It's actually not unspoken. It's baked into the protocol.
It's totally baked.
If you leech, then you'll be less likely to get good bandwidth downloads later. So once you're done downloading something with a BitTorrent client, stay online for at least as long as you were on before.
Right.
To seed the swarm. The swarm is the group of computers that are all kind of simultaneously sending and receiving that file. And seeding is when you've got the complete copy. And in order for BitTorrent to work, you have to have at least one person in the swarm have a complete copy.
Right.
Of the file and be a seeder. So actually, we're super seeders for you.
Yeah, that's right. At PWOP, we distribute all of our content with BitTorrent as an option. And we've put together a bunch of PWOP ambassadors, of which Scott is one. And these guys basically have some decent bandwidth. Doesn't have to be huge bandwidth, but, you know, cable modem bandwidth. And they've put together a BitTorrent client that's looking at all of the feeds that we offer. And so basically, whenever we publish any new show, these guys have agreed to, you know, download it and seed it. And so what we end up with is for every show, we have at least 25, 30 seeds. You know, and then on top of that, we've got, you know, more people that aren't PWOP ambassadors that are just using BitTorrent and using it correctly. And we also stagger the RSS so that when we first publish a show, all of the only the ambassadors get access to it. And when they're seated about a half an hour later, then we actually publish the main feed and everybody else who's looking at it gets it really, really fast.
Right. So the fastest way to get any of the shows, including this one, is with BitTorrent. One of the problems, yep, of course, is that BitTorrent uses a lot of ports, and oftentimes most corporate offices won't allow BitTorrent.
Right.
So BitTorrent as a personal protocol, as something that you'll use at home, is yep, really great. But because you're connecting to a lot of other computers, a lot of other peers, you'll have a number of problems, or you may have a number of problems you might want to deal with. The first one is that your router, whatever router you may be using, may not be prepared for such an aggressive protocol opening so many outgoing and incoming ports. So there's some optimizations that you can do on various firmwares. And if you just search for the name of your firmware, the name of your router, and BitTorrent optimization, you'll find it. I've got an article about Linksys firmware optimization using the DDRT firmware at /FI2. And this just is a matter of changing some of the how many connections are allowed open, how many do I expect to be allowed open on my router.
Yeah.
And now some people have said, and I have not found this to be the case, but some people have said that when Windows XP Service Pack 2 came out, that they were having some problems. One gentleman blogged about this at /FHG, saying that, you know, they had locked down the TCP stack when Service Pack 2 came out, and it was connection attempts that they would lock down to, I think, 10. Hmm. And this was to avoid worms. So BitTorrent can look like a worm to you, your TCP/IP stack, or your firewall, because it's so aggressively opening at ports. But I haven't had it go to any of the lengths that these other folks have done trying to raise the number of connections. The limit for connections used to be 65,000 plus in Windows XP, and now apparently it's 10. Have you had to deal with any of this, Carl?
No, I haven't. We're running MicroTorrent on a server, and that server hasn't complained yet of any such connection problems, and it's been...
So you're running Windows 2000 or Windows 2003, I would assume, not Windows XP.
We're running it on 2003. That's right. We're not running it on XP.
So I don't know if there's a difference between the two, but I have not seen that to be a problem. But if you search for XP Service Pack 2 and BitTorrent limits, there's a lot of people out there who insist that you need to actually go in and patch your TCPIP.sys. Hmm. I've gotten BitTorrent downloads in excess of 600, 700K a second over Comcast cable modem. So I have not found that to be the case.
Same here. Yeah.
Yeah. But be aware that that might be one thing. The more common thing is to just go in and tweak the number of connections. Also supporting UPnP, Universal Plug and Play, which is a protocol by which an application can request a port from your firewall, is a useful thing.
Well, here's what I know about this, and I think you were about to say it too, which is that a lot of people consider UPnP to be a security hole.
They do.
Yeah. UPnP means an application can open a port. And if you allow applications to open ports, if some rogue application wedges itself in there by some other, you know, means,
it can open... Or by using UPnP, right? You could have a very polite virus that requests a port.
Yeah, right. There you go. So, you know, if that happens, then you could be opening yourself up for a lot of problems.
Yeah. So what I've done with MicroTorrent, which is the utility that you've mentioned, that's at utorrent.com or /FI0. MicroTorrent, which I cannot say enough nice things about, what a fantastically, it's small, X copy deploy, no install, Yep. Doesn't crash, runs in the background. It's just fantastic.
It is wonderful.
This little tool will tell you whether or not you have the appropriate ports forwarded. And I just picked a high-level port and opened it up and forwarded it to my system. Typically, before version 3.2, BitTorrent used to use ports 6881 through 6889. Mm. And now they've extended that all the way up through 6999. These are all TCP/IP ports because BitTorrent isn't using UDP. But I've just opened the one port and had no trouble.
But you can use any ports you want. That's kind of the cool thing about BitTorrent is when, and we're going to get into what a tracker is, but when you connect to a tracker, you tell it what ports you have open. And so as long as your firewall has those ports open, the problem there, of course, is that by using non-standard ports, you know, other clients may be attempting to connect when those outgoing ports are not allowed on their firewalls. So
that is true. Yeah. You do want to have outbound access no matter what on port 6969, which is what BitTorrent uses to talk to a tracker.
Right.
This is the server that manages that kind of process. Typically, those are almost always on 6969, but you just need outbound access.
Right.
9 times out of 10, though, BitTorrent will work just fine in your home as long as you allow it on your software firewall and open at least one port on your hardware firewall. Now, an interesting thing, I don't know whether you've had this trouble, but I've been shut down in 3 different hotels for running torrents.
No, I don't usually run torrents in hotels, but maybe that's why I haven't.
So this gets to the original point of this whole conversation, which was this thing called TVRSS, which I had mentioned to you before, and I said, wow, we got to do a show on this.
Yeah.
I have a tendency to be on the road, I'll miss a show, and we've talked about orb.com and different ways that I could connect and stream a show to myself, but TVRSS.net, /FHV, is a place where you can get RSS feeds containing torrents with copies of the most recent TV shows, popular shows, The West Wing,
right?
Things like that. So I wanted to download The Daily Show and watch it in high quality video, not streamed, but just download it and watch it on the plane later.
Right.
So I started up this torrent, and within 10 minutes, I lost all connectivity with that network, and they wouldn't give me DHCP. When I called the hotel support, they said that if you open more than 20 ports going out, that they'll shut you down and ban your MAC address.
Wow.
So I convinced the nice lady to knock that off, stopped running the torrent, but check this out. Did a couple of downloads, loaded up my regular feed reader, VPN into work, and tried to check my email and got banned again. So It's not BitTorrent. It's simply opening 20 ports. If you are a multitasker, as I am known to be, you'll get nailed. So even doing something as simple as multitasking at this particular Marriott hotel got me banned, and that was a real disappointment. So do be aware of what you're doing. This is probably not a hotel-specific thing. More and more people don't want folks monopolizing bandwidth with torrents.
Yeah, and it may not be a Marriott thing either. It may just be that the IT department in that particular hotel has that policy.
Yeah. In this case, they said that it was the, I forget the name of the provider, but it is one of those providers that you recognize the name of when you go to the hotel.
Right.
When I dialed the Marriott extension, they forwarded me off to IT for, transport or whatever the name of the provider was. But I think that kind of thing is going to happen more and more as people build that into their firmware. Like, I don't think Starbucks wants me to run a torrent inside of Starbucks.
Yeah.
But interestingly, I was able to get it working the next day by going into the MicroTorrent and setting the maximum connections to 10.
Right.
And just told MicroTorrent, don't even try to talk to more than 10. Now, the download was really slow, but it did actually happen. Hmm. And you can see these ports that you've got open by using SysInternal's great TCP view utility that we've talked about before on the show,
man.
At shrinkster.com/FHH. Fantastic stuff.
They totally rock.
So if you go to tvrss.net and download MicroTorrent, you just run it, no install, and you would set up the RSS feeds from the RSS preferences section of MicroTorrent. And you can set up a filter. Just put the name of the show you want. You could put in like Lost or West for West Wing, and it'll do a wildcard search.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll download these files. And these are usually high def files. These aren't crappy rips off of some guy's, cable. This is a high quality HDTV rip with commercials removed. And that's where we start getting into legality.
Right.
And then those are about 300 to 400 megs. I downloaded the whole series of a great show I watched called How I Met Your Mother on ABC. And we discovered it halfway through the season. We wanted to catch up, but it wasn't on DVD, so we went back to TVRSS and grabbed it. And here's the cool part, and we talked a little bit about this in our second or third show, but once you get those giant files, you want to squish them, right? You want to get them onto your portable devices. And I just can't say enough nice things about Videora. Videora.com, /FHI. This is a converter, squisher, and there's lots of them out there, but this has the friendliest interface, and it's very inexpensive, and they have hardware-specific free versions for the PSP, for the Xbox, for your TiVo. So I use this to download these shows. I squish them using the Xbox 360 converter, and then I just copy them over to my media center and then watch them later on the Xbox with the media center extender. You can also squish these for your iPod or squish them onto your PSP.
Wow.
Using PSP Video 9, shrinkster.com/VHN. Seems complicated, but if you just kind of get that workflow, you set up your feeds at TVRSS, you get utorrent.com, you pick the shows you want, and then when they come down, you squish them overnight with Videora. It's a it's much more intuitive thing than you would think, and it makes long plane rides really a joy.
You know, there's a great audio encoder, re-encoder, out there called Virtual Dub. Have you used Virtual Dub?
I haven't.
Virtual Dub allows you to open any AVI file, and then you can use a separate WAV file. You can use for audio, and it's great. You know what it's great for? We use it for replacing the audio track in a video. So we when we do DNR TV, you know, we have a somewhat crappy sounding audio track, and then we go into Adobe Audition and extract the WAV file from the AVI. You know, extract the audio into a wave. Then we do the processing on the audio and cut out any coughs and blurps and stuff like that and make it louder and noise-free. And then what we do is we use Virtual Dub to just use a direct stream copy mode from the wave file into the video and save it as a new AVI. And it works every time. But it can also take any, you know, video and codec and turn out any other kind of video with any other kind of codec and any kind of size. So, you know, it's good. It's a free tool.
That's cool. You know, and awareness of these audio formats, these multiple tracks that you've just brought up, actually fits right into, if you ever do ripping of DVDs, you want to take a DVD that you own on the road with you, there's an interesting guide at shrinkster.com/FHJ that talks about in the ripping process, you know, DVDs have multiple layers of audio. You've got Spanish and French and English 2.0 and English 6.1. You can save a lot of space by making sure that you only rip the audio that you're going to care about. Something a lot of people forget, and they wonder why their rips are so huge and why they squish poorly. Now, speaking of, now we'll get back to free content. So if you're not feeling that TVRSS is for you, if you're concerned about the legality of it, there is a free high-definition TV show that you can get at MariposaHD.tv. It's at shrinkster/FHL. And this is a bunch of Americans who moved to Argentina and have decided to put on the internet's first high-definition 1080i TV show.
Wow.
If you've never seen HD before, maybe you've seen it at Best Buy or at the store, and you want to see what HD really looks like, you're probably running a monitor that's at least, you know, 1024. You can get information about the different high-definition video resolutions at shrinkster/FHQ. But 1080i is one of the highest quality standard definitions that you would get from high def. There's 720p, which is the one that most people think of. There's 1080i. And then one day there'll be 1080p.
What are the actual pixel widths and heights of those? 1080i is what?
Well, I don't. I think it's 1980. I think if you go to shrinkster.com/FHQ.
1920 or 1980, yeah.
1920, I think it is. And if you want to see this for yourself, see a high-definition TV show, you can go to shrinkster.com/FHL, download this Mariposa TV show. It's mostly pretty girls and nice scenery and whatnot around Argentina. It's modeling and fashion and stuff like that. They've got a pretty slick site. They've got three episodes of this little TV show. It's kind of like a travel channel kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And download it with MicroTorrent and run it using Windows Media Player version 9 or above. These are the versions of Windows Media Player that support that high-definition codec, compressor, decompressor is what codec stands for, then you can experience that, you know, for yourself. It's pretty amazing to see high def, especially on a computer monitor. It's so crisp.
MicroTorrent has RSS support, but from what I understood, it was a little sketchy last time I checked. What's the situation with that?
With the version 1.5 that I've been using, it has been absolutely the number one best. I cannot say enough nice things about how awesome this tool is.
About the RSS support is what I'm talking about.
The RSS support is fantastic. I run 9 different feeds. It updates every 15 minutes. I can say on a per feed basis or a per filter basis where I want stuff saved. Okay. So the West Wing goes in that folder and DNR TV goes in this folder.
That's great.
It's really very nice support, especially the 1.5 version is the one that you want to look at. I think it came out in April.
Yeah, we actually use that in PropCatcher. And PropCatcher, as you know, is an RSS aggregator for enclosures. PropCatcher will use both HTTP downloading and MicroTorrent internally. So the current version that's out there at PropCatcher.com right now will ask you to download MicroTorrent, and we have permission to do this. I've talked about this before a little bit, but the version that's coming up next will have MicroTorrent embedded as a DLL, so good stuff.
There's lots of great tools out there to do BitTorrent downloads. You may already be using some. Like, for example, if you use GetRight.com, it's a download, multiple part downloader. It's a file downloader that lets you do pausing and resuming and parallel downloads of large files. Yeah. Their 6.0 beta is adding really good BitTorrent support, including support for uploads. So if you're already using a tool like that, you may see, just like Carl's mentioned, that more and more people are embedding BitTorrent into their programs,
right.
Just embedding it using a library. And I think that the fact that GetRight is getting on board with that is a fantastic thing.
Hey, what happened? What's up with Warner Brothers? We mentioned them before, and they're coming out with a feed, are they not?
That's what they say, but I haven't seen anything other than the press release. The idea is that the day after their shows come out, they're going to have them up on the net to be downloaded. I think the idea is that someone's finally explained to the suits that when you send information out via TV, it's shouting, right? It's standing on the top of the tallest mountain around your neighborhood and shouting it out.
Right.
And BitTorrent is the same exact thing. And whether people pick it up over the air or they pick it up over the BitTorrent, they're going to get it.
And you know what? It actually ends up saving them money because they're using the internet infrastructure that's already there, and they have to spend less money on their existing infrastructure.
I think that in the next year or two, we will probably see a major TV show or studio release a show exclusively on the web or release it a day or two before on the web in order to build up some buzz, like, you know, release a new version of some TV show on Tuesday in order to get people stoked for must-see TV on Thursday.
I think you'll even see a Microsoft eventually. I don't know if they're going to use BitTorrent, but they may use they've got a research project called Avalanche that they're working on that is essentially BitTorrent plus. And I can't imagine that they won't be taking advantage of this for things like operating system releases on MSDN and other releases on MSDN. I mean, have you ever tried downloading a new version of an operating system or anything when it gets released on MSDN? Forget it. And these guys have more bandwidth than God, so.
Yeah, I just downloaded Vista yesterday, and it was a single connection using the Microsoft File Transfer Manager.
Yeah.
It was like 9 hours to download this DVD. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. So that's just screaming for a BitTorrent protocol.
Interestingly, though, I've read, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I've read that upwards of 30% of the internet's traffic now is BitTorrent traffic. It is a very chatty protocol.
Yeah, I read it was more than that. In fact, it was last year that it made up the majority of internet traffic, surpassing email and web.
Unfortunately, a lot of that is stuff people don't own, and I think that's where people get worried. I mean, personally, I'll download a TV show if I was going to tape it and I missed it.
Right.
I won't rip movies that I don't own. I'm not going to go and download a movie off of the net because you can go to Blockbuster for a buck, you know?
Right. Also, it doesn't mean that the majority of internet users are BitTorrent users, because look at the sizes of the files that they're downloading. I mean, one DVD transferred is how many emails saying, you know, even how many spam emails. Thousands, hundreds of thousands.
No, that's a very good point. My entire year's email might be a single DVD.
Exactly. So, you know, you got to put it into perspective. In fact, my entire Outlook PST compressed is probably less than a single DVD.
Right. All the email you've ever sent.
Right.
But unfortunately, I think that the reason that people download these DVDs illegally and things illegally is more of the sense of they're beating the system and right. less that they really need it.
I agree.
I will happily pay for content. I think the world will happily pay for content, and that's why iTunes succeeds and why iTunes insists that 99 cents is the price of their stuff.
Right.
That's a perfectly reasonable price to sell something for. $2 for a TV show, or what is it, $2.99 for a TV show?
Yeah.
$1.99? I'm not sure. I haven't got our video iPod yet. The wife won't let me do it. But one day.
You know, it begs the question. We talked about this on Mondays, too. Do you really want to be watching TV shows on a postage stamp size screen?
You know. The only times that I can see that happening is on a plane or on a commute. Yeah. But if I would say this, though, and I'm on the West Coast and you're on the East, so you might know more about this. But if you were coming in the Long Island Railroad, it'd get pretty dull coming into Manhattan. You might want to watch something. Watch last night's Daily Show.
That's true. That's very true. I've taken up to reading books on planes.
Yeah, I have a commute that's one exit, so there's little that I can do just going up one exit. I can ride my bike to work. So, but if I were taking the train, taking the MAX train here, our electric train downtown, I think I'd probably watch a half-hour show.
Coming back from Amsterdam, from the Netherlands, to on the flight back in the airport in Amsterdam, I picked up The Da Vinci Code. And I started reading it as I was waiting for my plane, and I finished it, you know, right after we touched down. I was literally like 10 pages left when I was walking off the plane. And I, you know, I didn't start reading for fun until I met my wife, you know, and she's a voracious reader. But that was a fun experience. It was especially cool not to have to worry about gadgets and stuff. And, you know, it's the simple things sometimes that we forget about.
See, for me, the simple things are flying back from Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago, watching, what the heck movie was I watching? I forget what it was, but I was watching a movie that I squished onto the PSP, and my battery on my laptop had long died. My 2 hour battery life on my big heat sink of an IBM laptop, and I watched that movie, and I watched two back to back movies and a TV show.
Wow.
Didn't even think about the battery life on my PSP, like my PlayStation Portable. And for me, that's the simple things, not having to worry about battery life.
So there are some other sites that are out there to support the PSP for this kind of stuff.
Yeah, PSP Video 9 at shrinkster/FHN gives you a video or a squisher that will put a video into a format that the PSP can understand. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to be downloading video via BitTorrent onto your system, you might want to tweak some of the speeds. And there's a number of sites that give you tips on how to get the most out of your bandwidth. One of them is at tweaking BitTorrent speeds at shrinkster.com/FI4. And, of course, my optimizations page at FI2.
Okay.
The number one mistake that people make when they're setting up BitTorrent is not forwarding at least one port to allow someone to connect to your system from the from the inside. As soon as the swarm notices you're not contributing, they will lower your speed.
The leeching is the biggest problem, and I see that now. I mean, we have how many thousands of people that download our shows, including this one, with BitTorrent, and yet we still never have more than 50 or 60 seeders at a time.
The rule of thumb is to keep the torrent open at least as long as you had it open before. So if it took you an hour to download, keep it open for an hour, even twice as long, just to give back. And that makes sure that everyone will get a piece of the show.
Yeah, isn't there a setting in MicroTorrent where you can tell it how long to keep to keep seeding after downloading?
Yeah, there's the notion of a ratio. So if you've downloaded 100%, maybe you want to upload 100% or 150%. So you can set that in the preferences of MicroTorrent and say that my seeding goal is 150% of what I downloaded. And then you can set it to either limit the speed by throttling or by actually stopping the torrent after it's reached its seeding goal.
Nice.
So if you had a lot of stuff you wanted to download, you could just set the ratio that you want, and it'll automatically throttle them back or stop them as they go. And that's a nice way to stagger your downloads, making sure that you're giving back as well as receiving the files that you want to get.
And let's end with a concise synopsis of how BitTorrent works at howstuffworks.com, BitTorrentHTM at shrinkster.com/FHS, a good overview of how BitTorrent works. And thank you very much, Scott, for sharing your BitTorrent knowledge with us and experience.
No problem.
And as for you, dear listener, we will talk to you next week on Hansel Minutes.